Hello. I want to play a game. The devices on your heads are symbolic of the shackles that you place upon others. You recklessly loan people money, knowing their financial limitations, counting on repossessing more than they could ever pay back. You are predators, but today you become the prey, and it is your own pound of flesh that I demand.
This is your fault!
The scale before you is your only path to freedom. However, only one of you may pass.
Welcome back to the Hiding for Horrors podcast and review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tohan.
I'm Maria.
And today we're reviewing Saw 6, released in 2009, directed by Kevin Grueter, story by Patrick Milton and Marcus Durston. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
With Jigsaw still directing events from beyond the grave, Hoffman emerges as the heir to the killer's twisted legacy. But as the FBI closes in, Hoffman sets in motion a game that is designed to reveal Jigsaw's grand scheme.
So, Saw 6. You know, they definitely got back to the thing that I enjoy from the Saw movies. I love a game plot that has more than one character involved and have a bunch of moving parts. You know, that they were trying to give us that in Saw 5, but it really, really wasn't given. There were so many flashbacks. Like, why do we need to see Amanda Young again? And everything with John Kramer. Like, John has been dead for 3 movies now. Why do we keep seeing this man? Like, I don't understand. Like, can we just stop? Can we stop? And the flashbacks and... It was a lot of, like, random exposition scenes that just didn't really need to be there. But what about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on Saw 6?
I mean, I definitely felt like they brought back a lot of elements that they were kind of losing in the last couple movies. I also did like the whole multiplayer thing. I like that everything actually, like, made sense this time, I guess. Like... You can see why those people were there. You can see why John chose these people, you know. And I liked seeing Hoffman basically kind of start losing it. And then not really. I really liked that end scene, too. But, I mean, I liked the movie. It kind of felt like what they were trying to do in the last couple movies, but this time they actually succeeded. But, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I actually like this one. Now, this is one where I feel like I just said this for every Saw movie that I remember liking. But this is one I definitely remember liking because I remember that shotgun carousel trap in this one. And once I went back and watched it, just like the rest of y'all, it was pretty good. And like the game was giving us like, you know, it wasn't giving us, like, too much, like, background story, but it was giving us enough to where I felt like this game had meaning, like, besides, like, I mean, not like the one in the last movie where it really didn't have meaning, which was, it was kind of only a payoff from a little comment in this one, because Perez had mentioned that her and Strom were investigating those people from the game in 5 to make it seem like, you know, Strom was the new Jigsaw, I guess. Which could have been, like, cool to mention, I don't know, maybe in the last movie that, like, something like that was going on. Which is another reason why I just feel like that game was just kind of all over the place and wasn't really put together perfectly. But watching this one and then, you know, the cop plot as well, like, it felt a little more, like, better paced, I guess you could say. And I was just... I actually didn't mind watching it. Like, watching Saw 5 kind of felt like a drag after a while, but this one, I was kind of more engaged watching it, even though I had already seen it. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about a lot of the stuff that happened here. And it was just more interesting to me how they went about it.
Yeah, like, this is what... And I love how it was kind of, it was reconnected, because In our last review, Tuan and I, well, I was complaining that the cop plot and the game itself were completely separate from each other. There was like no intertwining at all. And it also had nothing to do with John Kramer. They were just like a group of bad people who did one bad thing together. And it was just, it just felt disconnected. But this one, like Maria said, they definitely remember the elements that made a good Saw movie and gave it back to us. But let's talk about the game and the game players. Twan, what do you think about the game and the people who were selected to play it, to be the pawns in it?
So I thought this was an interesting game because this was probably like, let me think for a second. Saw 1, Saw 2, 3, 4, 5. I would probably say aside from the people in Saw 5, mainly like the two who were like, I guess, the survivors at the end of it. This guy was a douchebag for what he was doing. The main player in the game who was, I believe, William. And he kind of, he maybe didn't deserve like hydrofluoric acid like going through his body, but he kind of deserved to face like some like harsh justice or judgment for the way that he was going about basically like turning away people from receiving like the healthcare that they need because it saves them money, which I mean people in real life actually do. And when I was just looking up stuff in regards to this, like people said this was like Saw's like political movie because at the time it was during the healthcare like crisis and they were going through like the Affordable Care Act and all of that stuff. So they kind of interwoven that into the story, which I mean is pretty decent. And we saw that he, William, turned away John Kramer for like treatment that could help his cancer by not providing him any health care. And then we also saw it as well with Brent and Tara's the dad and husband who died because he had a heart condition. And basically like he told William, he sentenced them to death because he couldn't get any health care from them because it didn't match what they defined as an algorithm for how they were going to, you know, pick out those people. So all in all, that was pretty interesting. But, you know, him going through the game itself and kind of having to go against some of these different types of, like, factors, I guess, in his algorithm that he had to go against. Like, in the first trap, you know, the gentleman, the janitor, had a lung condition because he always smoked. But if he was giving him health care, like, will William actually save him? That whole type of thing. So yeah, so I just, all in all, I thought it was just cool how they kind of used the decision making of like William's like healthcare system and algorithm against them towards the actual game. I just thought that was pretty interesting, and how he had to put himself on the line in order to like help out others, which I mean he should be doing as a person in healthcare, but you know, insurance people, even though they're providing a service, their service is at an expense to them, so they want to provide us the least amount of service. And all the people who were like a part of the game, not everybody like had like deserved to be in the actual game. Like the janitor, for instance, like that man's just cleaning up around the facilities. What does he have to do with, you know, the actual policies in place or something like that? But we know that Kramer is not a fair man and will do everything that he can to prove his little point.
Maria, what about you? What do you think about the game and the game players?
I agree with what Tuan said. Well, especially like the last bit. Because he's right, like, the secretary and the file clerk, they're literally just there to do their jobs, you know? And, like, I'll admit, it's kind of the same thing with that team, the six people. Like, they're just working, you know? They're, like, it's just their job. And honestly, this seemed more of a revenge game to John, to be honest, than like actually trying to teach people a lesson, because like a lot of people died, you know, And it's kind of like, I understand that's William's whole thing. You know, he has to pick and choose. But, like, you're kind of letting innocent people die to prove a point because it's part of the principle. But then it's like, you know, like, who's the, like, I, like, what happened with that girl who had to cut her arm off? And Hoffman was like, well, did you learn your lesson? And she was like, my fucking arm got
so bad.
Yeah, she was like, my fucking arm got cut off. Like, what? I'm not worried about learning a fucking lesson. Like, I now have a million things to worry about, you know? She's totally right. Which, by the way, that scene where, like, where she's, like, cutting her arm and she's using a fucking knife. It's like, girl, you have literally a hat, like, a whatever, like, you know, that big ass fucking
a hatchet.
Yeah, like, right next to you. Like, you did not have to make it that hard. But anyway, but, like, you know, and that's just what these games are kind of doing. I mean, I did enjoy the games, though. I feel like they were more creative this time, and they, I mean, they weren't necessarily fair, because it's more or less, you know, William having to kind of, again, pick and choose who's going to live, so the people that were in the games never really had a chance, you know what I mean? I feel like whatever Jigsaw was trying to prove to William kind of worked, because I feel like by the end he did understand that, like, it's, you know, it's a lot more difficult than a formula to tell you, you know, who can have insurance and who can't. And I like the fact that at the end, his life was out of his hands, you know, like, he can pick and choose who dies, but his own life is out of his hands. I thought that was pretty cool. I know that, like, that technically this was kind of Hoffman's game, I guess. But I thought it was going to play out more like Amanda's game, where you were going to have, he would have gotten more chances throughout it, but he didn't. So I guess that plot was, like, okay. It was just kind of whatever, to be honest.
What about the traps, Tuan? Are there any traps or kills that set up?
Always got to go with the shotgun carousel trap in this one. I mean, that was a pretty, I like that one, and the way that, you know, William had to, like, pick and choose who died for that one. I mean, he kind of had to do that for another, like, that other one with the secretary and the file clerk as well, but it was different, like, in this one. And also, this is, like, the most people we had in, like, a singular trap like that, and I just liked the whole, like, aspect of it. So that one was pretty cool how he had to go about it, especially, like, once he saved the first person. And everybody who's, like, left just knows, like, it's only one left, so either you gotta plead the fuck out of your case or you're gonna get shot. But only thing I hated about that trap is the one last guy who was clearly overacting. He was like, you look at me when you kill me. You look at me. I'm like, bro, like, it is not, like, it, okay, this is that serious because you're about to die. But, like, he was overacting, like, really hard in that scene. I was like, was this the only take? Besides that, though, I did like, even though we didn't see it in its succession, I did like that the ending with Hoffman and the reverse bear trap, because they definitely, like had you thinking that this was about to be it for him, and we were actually going to get to see it, like, in use. But this motherfucker Hoffman always finds his way.
Marie, what about you? What did you think about the traps? Were there anyone that stood out for you? Any kills? Any traps?
I mean, I did. I liked the traps. The carousel one was interesting. It was definitely different. But I do agree with the overacting at the end, because it was like, I mean, that must suck, you know? Like, now for sure, you know that you're going to die. Like, regardless of whatever is going to happen, regardless. And you're kind of wondering, like, why did William let him die, if it was, like, an ego thing, you know? But I really liked the idea, though. And then there's, I didn't like Huffman's trap. I thought it was interesting. Okay, I thought it was cool that they brought back basically Amanda's trap, you know, and he, because, you know, him and Amanda are in a way connected because they're both kind of like, you know, they were apprentices to John, but like, you know, that man, he won the game, right? He won his game. And it's like, and it kind of shows a flaw in John's whole formula of like, oh, like if you, you know, if you if you win the game, you must really want to live, and you're just gonna change you as a person. Like Hoffman is just nuts. Like that man was just, he's just psycho. Like that's it. Like there's no, he just, I mean, he does want to live, yes, but he,
both of them are though. Like both him and Amanda, they weren't changed. They just became psychotic.
Yeah. Like Amanda just. And I know we've talked about this, but Amanda just took one obsession to another obsession, and Hoffman,
her
just
addiction switched.
Yeah, like that was it. Her addiction just switched, and it's like you're not really helping these people. You're just, I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but not what he thought he was doing. But. I mean, I thought it was a cool trap. I don't know. I guess I don't really know what I wish the outcome would have been for Hoffman's trap. I guess, I don't know. I just wanted a little bit more, I guess. And like the first trap, I felt so bad for that janitor. Like, he did not, Tawan's right. He was literally just cleaning up floors. Not his fault he smokes. That's just how it is. Jesus. I felt bad for like the secretary and the file person. Cause like, you know, again, like they were also just doing their jobs. But I thought the trap was also good, I guess. Cause you know, he has to like hold on to them and then basically pick and choose who he's gonna save. And that small bit where like he let go of the guy's string thing, and what it does at first, you know, it like releases his cuffs, and he like looks at him like, you fucking asshole, and then he dies and like slams right into the fucking window, just so, you know, so William could really see what his actions did. I thought that was really good, and I think that's it.
For me, the only trap that really stood out for me was Joe putting Hoffman in a trap. Not because it was like spectacular or anything, but because it was more like, I personally didn't see that coming. I didn't see Joe putting him in a trap. That was just not on my Saw bingo card. So, but everything with that character is kind of like unexpected. But whatever. But yeah, that was the only trap that really stood out for me. The carousel trap was cool, but it wasn't all of that. The game itself was cool, but the traps were still kind of lackluster. You know, I feel like they haven't been good in the last like two movies or so, but that's just me. But let's move on to the characters. Let's start with reporter Pamela Jenkins, who kind of popped up there in Saw 5, but not really. I hate a nosy reporter, especially in horror movies. Like, I want to be like, you know, the reporter gotta go. She gotta die. Like, kill the reporter off. The only reporter that's acceptable is Gail Weathers. If you're not Gail Weathers, then you have to fucking go. Like, she was so annoying. Like, I was like, why is this blonde? You know, another reason, like, rewatching this movie, she annoyed me because she reminded me so much of that character from Arrow. And I hated that woman. And so she just got hated.
What, Felicity?
Yes. She looked so much like Felicity. And I hated Felicity. And that just made me hate that character, this character even more. I just like, can we please off this fucking reporter? Because I feel like the reporter wasn't really doing anything. Like, she was asking questions that just felt like obvious that everyone else should be asking. I'm like, why is she asking questions that I think the other cops are already thinking about, but like she's just saying it out. Like it wasn't given. And you know, I'm like, we have enough blondes in this movie. You know, Jill is all we need. We didn't really need Pamela. What about you, Tawan? What are your thoughts on Pamela? Obviously, I didn't like her.
Yeah, I don't really have much on Pamela because, you know, I thought maybe she would have, you know, kind of stayed around and try to, I thought she would have unraveled a bit more of what was going on. But because, you know, we get to the end and find out that, oh, she's William's sister, and that's why, she, you know, she's put in this predicament to, I guess, just watch him die. Because, like, she didn't really get any choices to do anything. Like, it's not like she could have killed the family to save her brother or anything like that. So she was kind of just there to watch him die or live if they chose to let him live. But I mean, she wasn't really given much options for what she could have done in like the predicament that she was in. She really was just an actual bystander.
Well, Maria, what are your thoughts on the movie's law? Agent Perez and Agent Eckerson.
I mean, I feel like they got super close compared to, like, the law and, like, the other movies, you know? Like, I mean, they did figure out that it was Hoffman. But, like, but Perez was making it so obvious that she was suspecting Hoffman. Like, she was not pulling back at all. She was like, she basically should have just told him that she suspected him. She was eyeing him literally the whole movie. She was like, just, I don't know, making it very, and it's like, look, and because she, to me, it seemed like she already suspected Hoffman. And it's like, if you're already suspecting him, why are you bringing him along? Like, you know?
No, I don't know. You're so right.
That's what I thought was kind of, like, weird. Because she kept, like, in every instance she could, she would, like, side-eye him. She'd, like, question him. She'd be, like, you know, like, very much insinuating things. And then Hoffman himself was, like, you could tell that he was starting to fall apart a little bit. But I mean, they seem pretty competent this time around. So props to that, I guess.
Yeah, it was. That whole thing was funny with Perez because it's like, you know, when people like post on like social media, they're like, I'm about to start moving in silence, but they still be posting everything they doing. That's what it felt like with Perez. Like she was like not trying to hide it at all, that she had her suspicions about Hoffman, which I mean, and like, you know, I'm for sure it's probably hard to do that when you gotta like work with them. But if you have a suspicion of something like that, like, I'm sure, like, well, we don't know, but I'm sure she probably may have shared it with Eckerson, but seeing that they gave him a deal to, like, give him all the information that they were going to be, like, receiving and stuff like that, like, why would you even, like, be okay with that, especially since she's in the FBI, like, why would you even be open to that idea if you have, like, a suspicion or something, because even if it's, like, a suspicion, this is like a big case and like probable cause, and you don't know like what's gonna happen from like from going there. And they could have did all of the stuff that they were gonna do without including Hoffman, like decoding the voice and all that stuff. Like, why did Hoffman have to be there for that? He wasn't even a part of the process.
That's true. They were just like, come on, and they all went.
Yeah, they were like the smartest cops, but like, whatever town / city or state this is in, because they never really say, like, at what point are you calling everyone in? It shouldn't be like 3 or 4 people. This should be like a whole task force. Like, how many cops have been killed by Jigsaw?
Wasn't there like a whole like team of cops that was killed? Yes. Basically,
like you had Tab and that Asian cop, I forgot his name, I'm so sorry. And then you had Yeah, and then you had whoever the hell Donnie Wahlberg is playing for. The guy had Matthews. You had Matthews, and then you had the other black cop. Like, a lot of cops have died. And do you tell me they haven't sent in a whole fucking FBI, Homeland Security? Like, somebody needs to be there. Not just a small team of, like, 3 and 4. Like, what's going on? Like, is this city / state so bad, but they just don't give a fuck? Like, what's going on right now? Like, somebody do something. Because I don't know. But let's talk about Tara and Brent. Maria, what are your thoughts about this mother and son duo who got their revenge in the end?
I understand why they were there. I understand why John brought them there. But he was like, my apologies for bringing you into this game, blah, 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 blah. And then you gave them the choice to kill someone? Like, I understand it's their way of getting revenge, because this is also kind of John's way of getting revenge. But now you made murderers of, like, two people that, like, not that, that had nothing to do with the games, you know? And I thought that was kind of sad. I mean, I do feel bad, you know, that William is kind of the reason why, you know, her husband and, you know, the boy's dad died, and I'm pretty sure they're still kind of suffering from that loss. But it's still just sad, I think, that they were put in that position by Jigsaw, and he thought that it was okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this, I don't even know how old he'd be, but, like, let's say he's, like, what? He's probably in his teens, but this teenager just killed someone.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like, I mean, I still think it's sad because, I mean, I do understand that because of William, you know, like, his dad died, but it's also, like, it's not like he directly killed his dad. Like, it's not like William, like, killed the man. It's just, I don't want to say it's just business because it's definitely very personal. You know, like, somebody dying just because you don't want to give him insurance is definitely awful. But it's, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they were innocent. You know, I feel like this game was really more of John's way of getting revenge. And in his head, he was like, well, if I want revenge, everybody else is going to want revenge. So I'm just going to put him in the game so they can kill the guy or let him live his life. But then it's like, I don't know. It's like you do that. And then where does that leave them? You know, I don't know. But I guess I felt bad for them.
No, you're right. It's definitely, like, I definitely feel bad for both of them. And the fact that they do have to make that choice at the end. And the mom, like, obviously she didn't want to, which she chose not to. But the son, like, he was just, you know, so dead set on it. Which, I mean, understandable, because father recently died and could have possibly been saved if he was approved for a plan, like a healthcare plan, by this company. Like, we don't know everything that led up to him even choosing William's company and all that stuff, or why he didn't go to a different one. But he was in, he was here. He was going to die soon, probably, if he didn't get assistance, which he did because of his health condition. And only thing William could think about afterwards was how much money they just saved because of it. So he was pretty scummy at that point in time. So I feel bad for the decision he had to make, but and they caught them during that grief process, and I don't know if I could say I wouldn't have done the same. Outside of that, though, I did like how they kind of threw us off, making it think it was William's family in the movie instead of making us think it was William's family instead of someone else's, and then they showed it at the end, so that was cool.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, at first I thought it was going to be a whole, like, Pamela was his mistress and, you know, they were, you know, that's his wife, or maybe, like, the wife or like, the mom and the kid were his secret family and Pamela was his real wife. And definitely, that's what I thought was going to happen. Definitely did not see this coming, so that was pretty cool.
Definitely a good twist. I mean, that's what Saw does. They always think you're getting one thing and then they flip it on your head. But let's flip right over to William himself. Now, yeah, he was being super grimy. He was being a dick. He was being... But I don't think he deserved this whole, like, game. I don't think he deserved to die at the end. Because, like...
Especially the way he dies.
Yeah, like, I don't think the punishment fit the quote-unquote crime.
Yeah, especially... Like, I personally feel like this was definitely more of a personal grudge that John held for so long.
Yeah, I feel the same with that. Like, I definitely feel it was more personal on John's part because he was denied the coverage that he would have needed. And as much as, like, you know, hate that all the stuff that, like, William did, like, we don't know everyone he affected, but you got to get the idea of, like, how he kind of cared about people, which was not really caring about them. It was just caring about their, like, how much money either they were going to, like, lose or gain from them. And that was kind of all he saw was the dollar sign, which, I mean, he's not that different from any other, like, person in charge of a company and how they, like, perceive people who need their services and stuff like that. So I don't think he deserved, like, the actual game. If this was, like, a real-life thing, I would say no. For the movie, we'll keep it because John had a, like, personal grudge. In real life, though, he really would need to, he probably would be, in real life, he probably would be investigated and then nothing would come from it besides, like, some fines.
Let's go to Jill, Jigsaw's wife. The wife who we didn't know about for, like, a couple movies, but now she's, like, overarching and important, and we keep on seeing flashbacks to scenes that were meant to be in other movies, and, like, Jill is just... I don't know. The character of Jill doesn't fit for me. Like, I kind of get her purpose. You know, she's part of Jigsaw's, like, his origin, like, Jigsaw's origin or whatever, but I just don't think the character fits. And her big turn at the end where she's trapping Hoffman, it's like, was this always the plan? Was this always supposed to happen? Like, I don't know. And they try to make the character too mysterious, so it's just like, I can't connect with her. But what about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts on Jill?
I will say I liked having Jill around because we finally just got hella payoff from stuff that they started up back in, like, Saw 4. Like, we see the reasoning for all these envelopes, what's in these boxes, what her key was for. Like, we're just getting a lot of payoff here, which, I mean, bro, payoff two movies later is crazy. Like, this isn't like the MCU where, you know, you gotta watch, Iron Man, then Captain America, and then they all come together. Like, this could have been told to us, like, right when you gave us this information, but we're getting this payoff, like, 2 years later. So, you know, it wasn't that bad in what we got, but she was really kind of more of, like, not exposition dump, but and MacGuffin kind of, because she just had all the information. She had what the people needed to be gotten for the game. She knew what had to be done with Hoffman. She had the note that Hoffman gave to Amanda. Like, she just had all the information, and, you know, had Hoffman not killed, and had Hoffman not gotten out the trap, I mean, she really would have been the last one standing in regards to all of this. So she was useful, but really didn't serve anything else outside of just giving us the plot devices that Kramer had stolen in the past for her to give up now.
I mean, I do agree with both of you. Like, I did like her heading in the movie, but I also, yeah, didn't really like how, yeah, like, I guess in the beginning, she just seemed like the scorned wife, you know? And then as you continue, you start to think like, okay, then maybe she's a part of this too. And I mean, I definitely was not expecting her to put Hoffman in the trap. Especially because, like, I guess, yeah, like, I mean, I agree with Mark. Like, you don't know where her character's going. You don't really know where her thoughts are at. You don't, like, you don't really know anything about, I mean, you obviously, you know about her, you understand her story, but it's like, her ideals, I guess, just don't really match up. And honestly, I expected more from her, from being influenced by John, to be honest. I didn't think she'd be like, all right, well, I'm gonna put this random man in a trap then. That's fine. And yeah, I guess I just didn't like that. I liked the fact that she seemed like an opposing energy to John. I guess her just kind of flipping it and like helping him out did make it seem like they're just using her, yeah, just to kind of move the plot along, which didn't help anything really. I mean, it did, but it's like she was just there just for that, and that's it. And then she just leaves and disappears, and that was it. But yeah, I mean, she's okay, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like there were some beats missing from this character. Like, I feel like something, we skip some stuff, and it just doesn't. Okay, look, I feel like because most of her story is told to us via flashbacks, and we don't get to spend a lot of time with her character, especially during those times with her and John were going through the baby loss. I feel like we were told she was so against what John was doing, and then the flip just happened so suddenly. I mean, yeah, she had like some suspicious stuff going on. She was kind of being suspicious with Hoffman, but it made it seem like she was reluctantly helping Hoffman cover his tracks because she wanted to keep her husband's name like not fucked up. But then like out of nowhere, she just like turns, and I don't know. It feels out of character for a character we barely know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, but let's go to Hoffman. I didn't enjoy Hoffman this movie. Like, if I'm being honest, I haven't really enjoyed Hoffman at all that much. Like, I didn't enjoy Amanda. I don't enjoy when the story is about the apprentice. And the fact that the apprentice is also a cop, so it's like not to deal with like all this extra stuff along with it. I don't find Hoffman interesting. Like now that we know his full backstory and how he got introduced to John, I don't find him interesting. And it can't just be his sister was killed, he killed his sister's killer, and then now he's with John. Like, that one event, as horrible as it is, like, what else in his backstory, his history, is making him this batshit crazy? It's like, I don't want to know more, but I also need to know more, because maybe the more I know, the more I like him. Because now I just know that he's crazy just because he's fucking crazy. But what about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on Hoffman?
To be honest, I do kind of think he's crazy just to be crazy. Because, like, you know, because he was already basically, you know, once this whole, like, Jigsaw murder started, he took his chance and he was like, well, I'm going to kill this guy then because
he fucking deserved it because, you know, his sister died. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like my person, I feel like he's always just kind of been like this. It's just that now, you know, he had some direction, but either way, he was doing things by himself anyway, because I think deep down, he just wanted to kill people and to feel good about killing them. Well, not feel good, but he wanted, because he's a cop, right? He still has somewhat of a sense of justice, right? So I feel like it makes him feel good that he's able to directly serve that justice. And I mean, I do agree, though. I feel like he was, for a movie, you know, because technically this was his game, I guess. I would have liked to have seen more from him. I mean, I like that Amanda was unhinged and you can see her spiraling. But I feel like with Hoffman, it just felt like he was just going about his day and then, you know, going about the game. Sure, he was doing whatever he wanted, but I feel like you can't really see how that affected anything. You know what I mean? Like, at least, you know, with Amanda, you can see that she wasn't giving people chances on purpose. But with Hoffman, it was just more like, I guess, I mean, you can see that he liked the brutality of it. But still, like, he wasn't letting people die. He was letting them live, you know? He was still kind of following John's motto. I mean, yeah, he was overdoing it, but I mean, like, to be fair, who, like, how is that something that you gauge? You know what I mean? Like, John, I mean, he was still doing these games and he was still letting people die, but it's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they were still kind of doing the same thing, except maybe, sure, like, Hoffman did things that John didn't like. But I mean, I feel like that was more of a matter of, like, of different opinions than Hoffman actually doing things wrong, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I felt like along with that, I would have liked to have seen more from Hoffman. I would have liked to have seen more of why is the things that he's doing so bad that he needs to be tested. You know what I mean? So, yeah. He was okay.
Tuan, what are your thoughts on Hoffman?
Yeah, I just think that Hoffman is, Hoffman is just crazy. Like, in the case of Amanda, she was an addict, and, like, you know, like Maria mentioned, like, earlier, she switched, like, one obsession for a new one with this whole thing. But in the case of Hoffman, we found out in Saw 5 that he tried a trap on his own and tried to make it look like a Jigsaw one before he was even, like, accosted by Jigsaw and working with him. So he already had the ability to do that and, like, get someone to kill them. And, like, we just see, like, going forward that, you know, he's just fine with it. I really feel like it didn't take much to do, like, to kind of convince him to, like, team up or join. Yeah, like, Kramer said, like, he would tell that it wasn't him and that it was a copycat that did it once he, you know, met Hoffman. But besides that, after that point, like, Hoffman was just, like, down for the cause almost. And we saw how wild he got in this one when the whole thing happened with the voice modulator and, like, them figuring that out, and how fucking he, like, went John Wick on them almost. splashing the fucking coffee in Perez's face, stabbing Erickson. Like, he went crazy in that scene. Like, that, like, that's not some regular person's stuff right there. But the little kind of, I won't say cat and mouse yet, but the little, the parts of the story where, you know, it seemed that Jill had, like, a one-up on him, and he just always kind of finds an out, like, and especially, on the bear at the bear trap at the end, he got his face out of there. Honestly, just shows how deranged he is. Like, he was having like a Joker moment at the end when he got his face like slashed by the bear trap.
But let's talk about John Kramer, aka Jigsaw. Again, this man has been dead for over 3 movies, and he's still so prevalent to the plot. What are your thoughts on Jigsaw?
I mean, at this point, we already know where we kind of land with Kramer as a person. As far as this game in particular, though, this is definitely, I was about to say his most personal game, but that just made me think of the tagline for the new movie, because they're saying that's his most personal game now. But as of now in the series, this is kind of one of his more, like, personal games, because he had, like, an actual, like, beef with this guy and why he wanted to, you know, put him in one of his, like, games and have him go through the trials and everything. And he was kind of right at some points, because when he met the William at the event, one of the events in the flashbacks, he was basically saying, like, oh, like, you're the one who chooses if people lives or dies, because of the way that he kind of carried out his company. And, you know, he was kind of right with that, but leave it to Kramer to take what should be reporting certain things to, like, correct procedures and departments. He's gonna get him from the grave, from beyond the grave at that, and put him through a game so that they can have a trial and save themselves and other people at that, and kill innocent people along the way. So, as usual, John is not making any sense, but he just did it because he had a personal beef to settle.
Maria, what are your thoughts on John?
I mean, kind of like how I said earlier too, and what Juan said too, like, I feel like this is definitely, like, this was personal, to be honest. I think this was personal. I think he, like, you know, did not have to do all of that, but he did. Especially because, I mean, like, yeah, you know, the guy was, I mean, he was just working, I guess, you know, like, this was just kind of his job, and yeah, it's shitty, and he's definitely grimy. He was probably definitely doing a lot of fraudulent shit under all of that, but it's also, like, I'm pretty sure there are people out there that deserve a lot worse, you know? And then on top of this, just, this game was just so elaborate, and I, again, don't understand why he thought letting two, you know, people who are, yeah, definitely most likely grieving, choose between letting this man live or letting him die, you know? And I feel like that could have gone, definitely could have gone either way. But then, at, you know, at this point, it's like, whose game is it then? Like, if they let him never die, what's going to happen to them, you know? Like, I'm pretty sure they're not going to sit there and be like, now I have value for my life. I'm pretty sure they're just going to live their life grieving their dad and thinking about the fact that, because not only were they given the choice to kill him, but they watched him die very gruesomely. Like, I can't imagine, as like a 15-year-old kid, you know, avenging my father, and then at the same time seeing this man dissolve right before my eyes. Like, I don't know, like, this game was, it was definitely, I don't know, I think it was definitely personal, because, you know, Pamela herself, she, I mean, yeah, she was a reporter, but again, she was just doing her thing, I guess, and she was, yeah, she was basically just there to see her brother die. They were just there to kind of just see each other go through this, like, horrific thing, and that was it, and it's like, why would you do that to someone? I don't know. This game, which is definitely personal. And yeah, I did see the trailer for the new movie, and it's like, that's supposed to be personal, but then it's like, so you did all this to the insurance company because, you know,
they wouldn't cover for your experiments and stuff. And you say it's the principal, and it is, but like, this just seemed like a lot. Yeah.
Well, we're almost at the end, but not quite the end. Tuan, can you give the people the behind the scenes info and facts?
Saw 6 had a budget of $11 million and it brought in a box office of $69.8 million. This currently sits as the lowest grossing Saw film. All of the other installments earned over $100 million at the worldwide box office. This one only made around $69 million. In 2008, VH1 hosted a reality game show titled Scream Queens, with the winner claiming a spot in Saw 6. Tanedra Howard won the show, securing a role for the film as Simone, who appeared in the opening trap sequence. This is the first Saw film to not feature an audio tape playing in the final moments to explain one of the games. Prior to the film's release, Kostas Mandalore, who plays Hoffman, didn't know if his character lived or died in the ending due to shooting multiple endings. One of those alternate endings included a revenge trap set up by Special Agent Strom for Hoffman to die in. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. Entertainment Weekly said the Saw 6 is the thinnest, draggiest, and most tediously preachy of the Saw films. It's one of the first ones that's more or less consumed by backstory. The Hollywood Reporter said, if this is torture porn, it is as if it was designed to be enjoyed by Michael Moore. The Boston Globe gave the film a 2.5 out of 4 stars, saying, who knew that the franchise's creators would eventually find a plot twist that made sense? Who knew they realized that Tobin Bell's Righteous Killer had current event values?
Well, it seems like people didn't really like this movie, but what about us? Tuan, Maria, do we cash or pass Saw 6? Maria?
I cash. I mean, it definitely had a lot of its flaws. I don't know. I liked it. I liked the twist. I liked, I kind of liked the game. I liked that it was really elaborate, and it wasn't just, it seemed like, I mean, not really a fair game, right? But I liked the characters as well. So I cash.
Tuan, do you cash or pass?
I will cash Saw 6. Actually, do like this movie a good amount. While watching through it again, I kind of remembered why, and it was mainly because, you know, the game had something to do with, you know, the overarching story, and especially after coming off of Saw 5, this one just felt like a better movie in my opinion. And even though we did get a lot of background stuff, all the flashbacks and everything, I didn't feel like they were unnecessary. They did they provided some backings as to why, you know, Jigsaw Kramer had a issue with William and why he's kind of in the predicament we're in. The little twist with finding out that wasn't William's family at the end. It was actually the family of the gentleman that died earlier in the movie because he wasn't given coverage. And then also finding out that was his sister who was there as well in there with them. And just seeing how unhinged that Hoffman gets at the end of this movie as well, when he kills all the people inside of the police station. One that in that room at least. So I would cash on Saw 6. I definitely would come back and watch this.
This is a cash for me, only because it did what the last movie couldn't. You know, it gave a game plot that was interesting and entertaining. It balanced out the cop plot and the game plot, and it just. Yeah, there was a lot of exposition, a lot of flashbacks, and questionable characters and character moments. But overall, it was still a really good movie, and I enjoyed it. This was my first time watching Saw 6, so I wasn't disappointed. I mean, going in, only thing I knew about Saw 6 is was the ending. So that wasn't as much as a surprise to me as I would have liked it to be, but I did know about that going in. So the movie wasn't a complete disappointment. Yeah, they missed some marks, but overall, still pretty good. But I'm ready for Saw 7. I have not seen Saw 7. I told Tuan off recording last week that I do know the big, like two big spoilers for Saw 7, but like I've never actually seen the entire movie. I know some spoilers, but I haven't seen the entire movie, so I'm excited to see how it all comes together. Do you two have anything to say about Saw 7 before we close out, Maria?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's not
good. Ooh, tomato! I'm throwing tomatoes.
At Saw 7 or at Maria?
At Saw 7.
Oh my, so I guess I shouldn't go in with high expectations. So we'll just leave it at that. Hope you guys enjoyed our review. You know, we are over halfway done with the Saw franchise, and Saw 10 is... Damn, does that come out next week at the time of this recording?
Yep, at the time of this recording, it will be next week, so because they fucked up our schedule.
Yep, they did. Actually, when this recording, it comes out the week this episode goes live, so... Yeah, they fucked up our schedule. It's supposed to come out in October, but we know the show must go on. We roll with the punches. So tune in. Tune in next week to hear our thoughts on Saw 7. Good night.
The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters to Media production. If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Haddonfield Horrors' past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Haddonfield Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Haddonfield Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Tuan Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections.
Should we do an intro?